Welcome to the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine. Meet 'em, greet 'em, treat 'em, and street 'em. Today's date is October 29th, 2019, and I am your skeptical host, Ken Milne. The title of today's podcast is My Buddy Tape for Boxer Fractures. And our guest skeptic today is Martha Roberts. She has an alphabet after her name. She is a critical care and emergency care triple certified nurse practitioner currently living and working in Western Massachusetts. Welcome to the SGM, Martha.
Hi, Ken. Thanks for having me.
Well, when I saw this article on buddy taping, I immediately thought of my EM boot camp buddy. Hey, we have one more course coming up, don't we?
That's right. We have a course coming up in Las Vegas, our very shiny, exciting place of emergency medicine education. We start off by having an ultrasound course December 1st and 2nd. It's full. However, there is a procedures and pharmacology workshop that's still open. And additionally, the conference, it's a 3.5-day course where you and I will both be teaching. It's a really good time. It's December 3rd, 4th, 5th, and the morning of the 6th.
I can't wait for boot camp. I look forward to boot camp every single time. It is so much fun. But you know what? When we were putting this podcast together, first of all, I pick the paper, then I pick the theme music. I don't pick the theme music and then go looking for a paper. I know some people think I do it the other way around. But we had thought about using a Simon and Garfunkel song, The Boxer. But later I decided to use My Buddy, a song by Canada's songbird, Anne Murray. And do you know what, Martha?
What?
Growing up, I had a bit of a crush on Anne Murray. But you have some interesting trivia about the song, The Boxer.
Yeah, you know, so in my other lifetime, I was actually a musician and marketing promotions director. I did a lot of sound and stage engineering. And one of my special training tidbits was that I knew a lot about musical backgrounds and weird stuff about songs like The Boxer. And you'd be actually interested to know that they spent a lot of time on this song. They did production for it for over 100 hours. And it is a song that really was a hit for Simon and Garfunkel. It was on their album Bridge Over Troubled Water from Columbia Records. It was released in the summer of 69, so it was even a bigger hit there.
But before you were born, but after I was born.
But it will be a classic piece of music, probably in my top 100 list of all time albums. The coolest thing about this song is that Paul Simon is very upset about some critical things that have been said about him. And he sings about his loneliness, and you hear this lyric, lie, 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 right? Well, actually, at the end of that, they feature a Moog synthesizer, which is a very nerdy piece of musical equipment, which I'm sure you will appreciate.
I'm familiar with a Moog.
Yes, so I worked a lot with those in my early career.
Well, Martha, this is not SGM, the Skeptic's Guide to Music. This is the SGEM, the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine. So can you give us a clinical case to discuss?
Fine, I will, but it never hurts to know a little bit about music. Here's the case. A 26-year-old right-handed male presents to the emergency department on Friday night. He's got a swollen right hand after, punching a wall. The x-ray confirms an uncomplicated boxer's fracture. You explain to him the traditional management, which includes adequate pain control, immobilization with a cast, and referral to a hand surgeon or specialist. He does not want any opioids because a friend was addicted to Oxycet. He is fine with going to see the hand surgeon in the clinic, but asks if he really needs this crazy cast that you want to put on him. He's concerned that it will interfere with going to work on Monday morning.
Well, boxer's fractures are common hand injuries. They are usually due to punching a solid object with a closed fist. For clarity, in this SGM episode, when we say boxer's fracture, we are referring to a fracture of the neck of the fifth metacarpal.
And there has been some controversy on what the best way is to manage these. Uncomplicated boxer's fractures can be placed in a cast, and that's typically how we handle them. And usually we define these uncomplicated fractures specifically as a minimally displaced closed fracture, so no big weeping laceration, and no angulation that's greater than 70 degrees.
Oh, Poolman et al. Did a systematic review and meta-analysis, and pooled together 5 studies with only a total of 252 patients. Most of the studies were of poor quality, and functional outcome was not used in any of the studies. Because of the lack of good evidence, no treatment modality could be recommended over another.
Another systematic review meta-analysis was done by Dunn et al. In the Orthopedics Journal, 2016. They found that cast immobilization is not superior to soft wrap without reduction in most cases.
Did you see what we did there? Pooled by Pullman and Dunn by Dunn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I know.
What you've done here.
It's all dad jokes. No study has investigated whether or not buddy taping would be superior to casting for functional outcomes in patients with boxers fractures. So, Martha, what's the clinical question?
All right. Clinical question is this. Is buddy taping an uncomplicated boxer fracture just as effective as a plaster cast?
Give me a reference.
Okay. So we're going to look at the Pellet et al. Study. It is titled, Is Buddy Taping As Effective as Plaster Immobilization for Adults with an Uncomplicated Neck of the Fifth Metacarpal Fracture? A Randomized Control Trial in the Annals of EM 2019.
Let's run through the PICO. What was the population?
Adults aged 18 to 70 years of age with uncomplicated fractures of the fifth metacarpal neck, boxer's fracture.
Yeah, and so they defined uncomplicated fractures. These were fractures confirmed by radiography with at least 2 views showing a closed, not open, not comminuted, not interarticular fracture with the angulation less than 70 degrees, less than 1 week old, did not have a tendon involved, and with no polytrauma or other significant injuries. All right, what was the intervention?
Buddy taping of the ring finger and little fingers.
And what did they compare it to?
Cast immobilization in an ulnar gutter cast applied in a position of safety.
All right, and let's go through the outcomes. What was the primary outcome?
Well, the primary outcome was that hand function at 12 weeks was looked at by using something called the Quick Dash Questionnaire. And you're probably wondering what that is, right?
Yeah, you probably are wondering, and so is the audience. So a Quick Dash is a validated tool to evaluate a patient's ability to perform certain upper limb activities. Dash stands for Disabilities of the Arm, Shoulder, and Hand. Now, the original questionnaire was 30 items. Well, the Quick Dash, you'll appreciate this in emergency medicine, the Quick Dash only has 11. This one goes to 11. The patients reported their functional ability on a 5-point Leichhardt scale. The patient's overall disability is rated between 0 and 100. The higher the score, the greater the disability. And the minimal detectable change is about 11%, while the minimal clinically important difference is 8%. That covers the Quick Dash. How about the secondary outcomes?
Pain, satisfaction, return to work, return to sports, and overall quality of life.
So the author's conclusions were, quote, we found patients with boxer's fractures who were randomized to buddy taping had functional outcomes similar to those patients randomized to plaster casts at 12 weeks. We advocate for minimal interventions, such as buddy taping, for uncomplicated boxer fractures. All right, Martha, we've got to go through a quality checklist for randomized clinical trials, and there is my second favorite number. My favorite number is 5, but my second favorite number, do you know what it is?
25?
No, it goes to 11. This is Spinal Tap. Okay, first question. The study population included or focused on those in the emergency department?
Yes.
Were the patients adequately randomized?
Yes.
Did they conceal the randomization?
Yes, they used a computer-generated block randomization with blocks of 20 for both hospitals. Sealed opaque envelopes were also used as study pack.
Now, were the patients analyzed in the groups to which they were randomized? In other words, did they do an intention to treat analysis?
Yes, they did.
All right, and were the patients recruited consecutively?
I'm unsure.
Okay. The patients in both groups, were they similar with respect to prognostic factors?
Yes.
Were all participants unaware of group allocation?
No. Clearly, the clinicians and patients would know if they had a cast or been buddy taped. However, the statistician was blinded to group allocation.
And was everyone treated equally except for the intervention?
Yes.
And how was the follow-up? Was it complete?
No. There was a 21% loss to follow-up with 11 out of 62 in the buddy group and 15 out of 64 in the plaster cast group.
All right, and all patient important outcomes, were they considered?
Yes.
And the final question, Number 11, my second favorite number, the treatment effect, was it large enough and precise enough to be clinically significant?
I would stay unsure about this.
All right, let's go through those key results. They assessed just over 500 patients for eligibility, with 126 randomized. The mean age was in the mid-20s. 85% were male, no surprise there.
Yeah, no surprise.
And 90% were right-hand dominant. Hmm. But what was the key result?
No statistical difference in the quick dash score between buddy tape and plaster casting.
Yeah, and look at the actual numbers. It was a quick dash score at 12 weeks of zero for buddy taping, and wait for it, zero for plaster cast.
Wait, so that zero, right?
Yeah, no, it was a right, nice round number. And even if you looked at the 95% confidence intervals, it went from zero to zero. All right, how about the secondary outcomes?
So pain, both groups reported absence of pain at 12 weeks. Cool. Satisfaction, both groups reported high satisfaction scores with the treatment. Also cool. Return to work, buddy tape patients missed no days of work. Well, get this. Those in a cast actually missed a median of 2 days of work. Return to sports. No difference between the two groups. They were back out there. And quality of life. No difference.
All right, now it's time to talk a little nerdy.
Mm-hmm.
And do you want to take a guess on how many points we have? And by the way, it's not 11.
25?
No, it's 5, my favorite number. Okay, here's the first one, selection bias. There is a possibility of selection bias. There were 41 eligible patients who were not recruited and 34 who declined to participate. The patients who were missed were because the ED was too busy and there were other clinical priorities. The demographics of the missed patients were similar to the included patients, suggesting that selection bias would be unlikely.
Number 2, loss to follow-up. One quality indicator is whether or not there were more than 20% of patients lost to follow-up. They reported 21% of patients being lost to follow-up, 18% in the buddy tape group, and 23% in the plaster cast group. This threatens the validity of the conclusions.
All right, number 3. This is about non-inferiority trials. This was designed as a superiority trial. The real question could have been, is buddy taping non-inferior or not worse than casting? A smaller sample size would be needed to demonstrate non-inferiority. This point should help with the nerdy point number 5 about replication, but I'm getting ahead of myself. What's number 4?
Number 4, quick dash. I also want to discuss just 2 quick things about quick dash. I have some other literature on it and its validity. First, reliability was 0.9. Second thing, validity was 0.7. And we'll put some links in the show notes so you can read more about this.
All right, and the 5th and final point, this is about replication. This study would need to be replicated in other healthcare systems for external validity. Patient population is probably the same. It's probably young males punching things, right-handed young males punching things. But their expectations may be different. What impact would this have on ED length of stay and cost? Would local specialists agree with such a change in management? I don't know, but I'd love to see a validation study being done to replicate this data. All right, those are the 5 nerdy points. Let's comment on the author's conclusions and compare them to the SGEM's conclusions.
All right, so we agree that they demonstrated buddy taping had similar functional outcomes to plaster casting in patients with boxers fractures. However, we would not advocate for buddy taping uncomplicated boxers fractures at this time based on 1 RCT.
All right, well, Martha, you're going to have to give me a bottom line on buddy taping.
All right, so consider offering patients with uncomplicated boxer fractures buddy taping. Is that easy?
Okay, how about a case resolution?
You inform him there is another treatment option called buddy taping and the limitations of the evidence. He decides to try the buddy taping instead of a plaster cast.
All right, let's talk about the clinical application. This small trial provides some evidence that buddy taping uncomplicated fifth metacarpal fractures is reasonable. It's not enough to change my routine practice of putting patients in an ulnar gutter. The orthopedic surgeon or plastic surgeon can decide how to manage these patients once they see them in clinic. If the patient requests not having a cast, I will bring up the idea of buddy taping. However, we think this type of treatment needs to be validated and confirmed before offering this routinely to patients. Now, what are you going to tell that 26-year-old male at the bedside, though?
To stop punching the wall.
Yeah, anger management. Yep, that's a good, yeah, but after that.
After that, I would say there is another option besides casting. One small study of less than 100 patients done in Australia put half the people in cast and half of them had their fourth and fifth fingers buddy taped together. Both groups had the same functional outcome at 3 months. And I might want to mention things like pain, return to hobby, and sports. The study needs to be confirmed here, and our hand surgeons need to be on board as well. The traditional way is still to cast these broken bones. If you really want to try the buddy taping, I think that's okay.
And it's time for the Keener contest winner. Last week's winner was Rachel Bridwell. She knew the first CT was performed in 1971. Martha, what's the question this week?
Here's the question. Originally, the term Boxer's fracture meant a break in the second or third metacarpal bones. What is the term that was originally used to describe a break in the fourth or fifth metacarpal?
Oh, excellent question.
I know the answer.
Do you know the answer? Don't give it away. We're being recorded. We're being recorded. Don't blurt it out. Okay. If you know the answer, then send an email to thesgem@gmail.com with Keener in the subject line. The first correct answer will receive a cool skeptical prize. Well, thanks, Martha, for coming on and doing your first. And by saying first, it means I want to invite you back.
Oh, wow.
Your first SGEM.
I'm very happy that I could be here with you, Ken. Thank you.
Yeah, and we're actually in the same room because we didn't do this over Skype. The audio quality may be a little off because we're in one of these conference rooms with a high ceiling, but we are at ASEP 19, where we have had a fantastic conference.
I think we've attended every party together, and we still have one more.
Don't you mean every education session?
Those are parties, Ken.
Okay. And one of the other reasons I asked you to come on the SGEM to talk about Boxer's fractures is you have been doing education on procedures for a long time. Tell everybody what the Knowledge Translation Project name is.
Yes, I work on the procedural pause. And if you're interested in following us in all things procedures, you can find us on EM News, which is just em-news.com. Or you can check us out on Twitter by following us at Procedural Pause.
All right. Well, Martha, one last thing to do before we wrap this up. You get to read the SGEM tagline.
Awesome. 25 times?
No, just 5.
Oh, okay. Remember to be skeptical of anything you learn, even if you heard it on The Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine.
Talk to everyone next time.
Your buddy.